Sir, y'all got it made down there. You just know you got it made. You're living in a good place. Enjoy it while you can, and take advantage of everything that Florida has to offer. Like I'm here telling you how to live in right. what of America's best weather states.
Oh it is a little bit hot, but yeah, it is definitely good. Taking a look at the college football playoff situation, the last time you were on here, we discussed a little bit of it, but expansion rumored to be, if it does happen, going to 12 teams, just hypothetically speaking, what is your initial thought on what it would change for college football? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Do you think it's smart to go right to 12, or would you rather it go another way?
No, it's smart to go right to 12, because the problem that you've run into with the current college football system being only four teams in the playoffs is that so many fan bases get bored once they know their team has no chance to go. And in fact, I mean, think about this for a second. All right. Even Power Five schools, there are a few Power Five schools in the SEC that suffer from this. A few, Arkansas, Missouri might be included in this group. Vanderbilt definitely would be. Where you know one game, two games, like even if you're Vanderbilt and you have a great season, but you lose two games, like somehow you end up 10-2. You don't end up in the SEC championship. Your losses are – it was a weird year where let's say your losses were to Alabama and Florida, but you beat everybody else on your schedule, but you're left out of the Final Four. You're left out of the playoffs competing for a national championship. As a fan, as ecstatic as you might be, you're kind of left those last couple of weeks of the season wondering what you're playing for, and what you get is a meaningless bowl game where if you've got any NFL prospects, they're probably bailing on you now. Even if it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Vanderbilt, maybe to get a shot at, like, say, a Cotton Bowl like Florida did this year, they're, you know, NFL-type players might say, yeah, I don't want to risk getting hurt. I'll just get ready for the draft. So the more teams you can include, the more fan bases that are going to be excited, that are going to stick with it longer, and that can't be anything but a positive for college football.
Yeah, the way that it would be formatted is interesting. I saw this bracket that had – The way that it would be set up is actually really intriguing. Looking at some of the matchups outside of the four, Cincy would still play Georgia, Texas A&M would play Coastal Carolina, America's favorite team last season, Oklahoma would play Indiana, and then Florida would play Iowa State. And there might be one or two poor matchups out of those, but you think about it, how talented those teams are. It seems like all of those matchups would be really good ones, at least in the first round, if you will, of the college football playoff.
Yeah, they would. And also, I mean, the one thing it would do, and I've never been a big proponent of this, I mean, it's never been anything that's excited me all that much, but the idea of having that Cinderella upset, like who did you say Coastal Carolina would play in that first round?
Texas A&M.
Texas, all right. So just the idea of Coastal Carolina being able to upset Texas A&M in that first round, I mean, that's made for TV type stuff. That is, I mean, that'll get the gamblers excited. That'll bring in the casual fan that maybe doesn't follow college football closely and give them an opportunity to root for something that they normally wouldn't be that interested in.
Yeah, and Jeffrey D, real quick, my co-host wants to, my guest co-host for the day wants to ask you a quick question. Here you go.
Hey, Erica, you know, I agree with everything I think you've said so far, and one of your points was, you know, if you're in the college football playoff, your kids aren't going to opt out. I mean, we saw what happened to Florida when their top four receivers opted out. They had nothing left. I mean, it was a sham of a bowl game. And so I agree with you on that, but let me ask you this. Is 12 the right number? Because if we've got 12 teams in the playoff, that means the bottom eight play each other and just knock the snot out of each other for a week. And then they play the survivors play the top four teams the next week and probably just get killed. So is 12 the right number, or is 8 or 16?
If you're gonna, I would say more rather than less. My co-host is a big proponent of 8. The reason I liked 12 is, one, I think 16 somewhat dilutes the product. And now you are talking about watching some mediocre teams, and the one thing that we've always done in college football is we haven't rewarded mediocrity for the most part. Maybe in 1984 when BYU won the national championship was about the only time you could kind of consider that, but for the most part, the best team wins, and that's what we want to see. But if you go 12, and you were talking about the idea of it, you know, the 12, you know, the bottom few teams beating up on each other, then going to play the top, the upper echelon teams, it still gives value to the regular season, because that's always been the other argument against the playoff period was how much is it going to devalue the regular season? Well, if you are actually getting an opportunity to play in the regular season for a bye week or for home games or whatever, it keeps every single game meaningful, and I think ultimately that's what the powers that be want, is to keep that regular season as important as they possibly can.
Eric, I think that would incent teams to try to get in that top four, to avoid that first round play-in game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, looking at it on its face, and Eric, this is you make a good point. I think it's important that the regular season still stays relevant enough that that people are obviously going to watch. In terms of what you see from, for example, a conference championship perspective, does this not necessarily taint anything to do with getting there, but we could very well see, I mean, I don't know if we actually would see this, but do you think we could see a 3-loss team in a playoff, and do you think that's right? Do you think that a team that doesn't make the conference championship game deserve a spot in there? I think there's a couple other questions in that regard for it as well.
Well, okay, this is going to sound like such a political answer.
Okay.
especially in SEC country, but I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with a 3-loss team getting into the playoffs if, you know, if you're playing a very strong conference or if you're playing in a very strong division such as the SEC West. Let's say on a weird year, let's say Arkansas or Auburn have really good years, but their losses are to A&M, or let's say Arkansas has a great year, phenomenal year, but their losses are to LSU, Alabama, and A&M, and all those schools are playoff worthy. Well, I wouldn't have a problem with Arkansas getting into the playoff if those were the only 3 losses they had. I think you're still going to have to take that into consideration. Plus, the close game, you can make a really good case that somebody like that needs to get in. I'm kind of hoping, and this may sound bad, I'm kind of hoping for the conference championship games to dissolve if they expand. And the reason for that is, one, it's one less game for you to have an opportunity for guys to get hurt, and two, it's one less opportunity for you to have a chance to screw some things up. So maybe you just, you know, your conference winner, or, you know, maybe you could have co-conference champions, but you look at strength of schedule and decide where those seedings are going to be, and that's how you divvy things up.
I'm going to be honest. I think you've sold me on the whole 12-team thing, because in, I was like 8, I think, makes more sense right now. But the way that you've explained it, I think 12 makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. Looking at Oklahoma, should they be the favorite to win the whole thing? I know, obviously, Alabama is losing a lot of guys. They got Bryce Young coming in, most likely. Clemson lost Trevor Lawrence and a number of guys. They got DJ Uiagalelei. Oklahoma returns a lot of guys, including Spencer Rattler, who very well, I think, should be the front runner for the Heisman, probably at least week one. Is this boom or bust year for Oklahoma? Should they be favored at this point to win the title? And should they? And is their best chance right now?
The answer to all those questions is yes, and I say that somewhat selfishly, because on one hand, I want Oklahoma to have the pressure. And I know, you know, some Alabama fans are going to laugh. Well, you go back and look at the history of Oklahoma. I mean, there's 7 national championships there and a 47-game win streak, and it's the only school with, you know, three coaches that have won 400 games. So, yeah, when you mention Oklahoma, it should be in the same breath with Alabama and Notre Dame and every other college football blue blood. And it's time for them to feel that weight. I think Lincoln Riley, during his 4 years, is in a way gotten able to – he's been able to kind of skate through without feeling that kind of pressure. And, yes, they should be the favorite to win this year because they've got just about everybody coming back on offense. They'll have pretty much a brand-new offensive line, but Bill Beatenbow has done an excellent job of not only recruiting but developing people in those positions and cranking out NFL-type players. Receiving corps is stacked. The running back room is as good as it's been in a long time. Even if you don't have an Adrian Peterson-type back, it's still as deep as it's probably been in 4 or 5 years, and defensively they haven't been this good since 08. So, yes, they should be. They absolutely should be the favorite to win the national championship, and let's see if they can handle this pressure. I want to see how they deal with it week in and week out. OU always likes to talk a good line of being a, of saying that, well, there's always pressure, but I don't really honestly feel that there's been the kind of pressure that Alabama feels every year, or even Clemson has felt these last few years in Norman, the way it's been at least on those two campuses and probably in Columbus.
Hey, Eric, this is Jeffrey D. Just diverting a little bit from the football topic. How about Oklahoma's softball team coming back from that the 3-2 loss to James Madison, winning out, and now like the heavy favorite to beat Florida State to win the national title? You got to be proud of them.
I mean, it's been a lot of fun. That first loss, I think that first loss to James Madison did them a lot of good in the fact that once you lost that first game, now you face elimination every single game that you play. And it seems that Patty Gasso's team this year, I mean, and to this point, they've only lost three games this whole season, including that loss to James Madison. But it seemed like after they got beat by Georgia and after they got beat by Oklahoma State this year, they tend to thrive in those spots. And I thought, well, if they can come through the loser's bracket, there's no one that's going to be able to beat them in a three-game series. However, now you're facing a Florida State team which went through the College World Series under the exact same circumstances. So I don't see much of an advantage there. I think this ought to pretty much – I mean, if you're looking for just something fun to watch, like even if you don't follow softball and you want to kill some time and the NBA playoffs get boring, I'd go all in on this. Just for some high entertainment value. It moves fast. Games are over in about 2 hours. And usually there's some drama in every single inning. So I'm looking forward to a fun series more than anything else.
Yeah, I've been watching the entirety of the series because it's so much fun to watch, as you said. I know that obviously the female sports don't get nearly the amount of buzz that they probably should compared to the men. But I think that this is one of those moments where all eyes should be on softball, at least in a little way, just for a brief amount of time. And I think that people will really enjoy looking into it and just experiencing that college softball World Series, and especially with Oklahoma and how good they've been. They've looked like the number one team in the country, as you said, since that loss to JMU. Well, Eric, I've taken enough of your time. We are up against the break as well. So thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I will be in touch shortly.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.